We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
God is one directing the steps. The doors are open. People are praying. My father-in-law says, yeah, I see it as well. Go. I'm going, boom, there we have it. Waiting on the Lord. That was from the first time I felt that, 27, 33. That was 6 years later. But you wait on the Lord. We go, we plant a church. God blesses in the first 7 years. Very, very difficult. But then we just see the fruit of what God was doing and got to a place where I'm going, man, this is fantastic. Loving what you're doing and everything else. And then crisis mode happens here. And God tells my wife and I, guess what? You're going over to Calvary Chapel, Castle Rock in 2012. Only to find out 4 months being here that we were $440,000 in debt. We sought the Lord. We waited on the Lord. In the meantime, we faithfully taught the word, ministered to the people, worshiped the Lord, and God blessed. And within a year after that time, we were debt free. Waiting on the Lord. But there's things to do while you wait on the Lord. And so then after that, saw some land over here. Saw some land. We have about 60 grand in the bank as a church about 4 months after we got out of debt. And I stopped and I prayed over the land. Then I told the staff about a week later we prayed over the land. And I'm going, man, what a perfect place for a church. This would be wonderful to have a church here. You know, but Lord, you're going to have to do it all. Next week, the sign was gone. It's no longer for sale. Lord, what are you doing? I went about thinking, okay, maybe it was you just, you know, encouraging my heart to look for something and look for the next 4 months or so. Nothing. Very frustrating. Ron Covington joined me in that pursuit. And I said, I think the Lord is hiding it from us right now. We just need to be content where we are and just let God be God. And he said, you know, I know a guy in the town. He kind of knows the ins and outs of when a property goes in distress and all this kind of stuff. And so let me just talk to him. A week later, he comes running up to me in between services and says, hey, I just heard from this guy. He has 5.5 acres and, you know, he would love to be able to sell it to us. I said, great, where is it? And it's the property that we're at right now. I'm going, what? Why did he take it off the market? Well, he was selling it for $800,000. He wanted to drop it to $700,000. You do that when a property's not moving. You take it off the market for a while. Then you throw it back on, and then all the real estate agents get this new listing, and a new buzz of activity will happen. And so Ron talked to him and said, hey, if we just deal between us and not get a commercial real estate agent involved, will you bring down some more? He said, another $25,000. And so we were able to buy that property for $675,000. It was going for $800,000. I'm whining for a good 4 months. There's no question about it. And what is the Lord saying to me? Would you relax? I'm working you a deal. That's exactly what he did. God's timing. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. And so we did. And so as we did this, we saw his leading and guiding. It directed us to actually buy the land in 2015. We paid it off in 2017. Lord, bring us the funds for this build project. So we waited on the Lord, not in a corner somewhere. We continued to pray. And in the meantime, let's continue to teach the word of God. Let's love the sheep. Let's minister to others. Let's worship the Lord. And in April of 2022, we broke ground. And we continue to wait on the Lord for our move into the new church building. In the meantime, what are we going to do? We're going to teach the word of God. We're going to love the sheep. We're going to love others. And we're going to worship the Lord. Amen. And while we wait and we do that, and when we get up there, guess what we're going to do? We're going to teach the word of God. We're going to love the sheep. We're going to love others. And we're going to worship the Lord. We're still going to do that because this is what God has called us to do. This is what God has called us to do. In Isaiah 40, 31, again, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm not weary. I'm not faint. My strength is in the Lord, and because of that, it's renewed. because it's in God. He has renewed my strength because I choose and I will continue to choose to wait on him. And it's difficult. But this is what God has for us. He is constantly calling to, yeah, I'm gonna do this, but guess what? You're going to have to wait. Now, in the meantime, can you prove yourself faithful? And can you be involved and do the things that God wants you to do now? Yes, we will do all that the Lord has said and be obedient. Great. Moses, come up here with me. Okay. Do, 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 do. 40 days later. What's up with this? Come on, let's go talk to Aaron. Pfft, Moses, we don't even know where he is. Yeah, you do. He's on the mountain. But we don't know what we're supposed to do. I think you're supposed to make us God. What are you talking about? Did you discuss that this morning over the manna? God's proof that he is taking care of you each and every day? When I counsel people, I always ask the question with whatever's going on, how well are you in the Word? Well, I'm not as good as I should. Ah, let's talk about that first. You don't think God's speaking to you? You're right, he's not, because he speaks to you in the Word. And you're choosing not to eat the manna. And so this is what God's Word says. You wouldn't know that because you're not in the Word. Where God is saying, wait for whatever it is that you want and you're bummed out at or whatever it might be, but are you in the Word? Well, yeah. Okay, what is he telling you? I don't know. Really? Let me bring you over these scriptures that talk about wait on the Lord and be of good courage and stand upon the hope, the person of Jesus Christ, and do what you say you're going to do. Be obedient to the things you know you're supposed to do and wait on the Lord, and he'll fill you through the Word. This is what he has a desire for you. I recently have talked to a pastor friend that just this last week. And he's frustrated because he just bought some land for his church. The church did 2 years ago. And he's frustrated because he doesn't have enough to build. And he's telling me this, like, and he knows everything that's transpired here at Calvary and how we bought land and how long it took before we were to build and what we're doing right now. And this is what a lot of times sin does. It blinds you to the person that you're talking to. And I love that about the Lord. Sometimes you're just so frustrated or you're whining and complaining about something and you forget who you're speaking to. And then God kind of drops the blinders a little bit. That happened to me about 4 years into the new work. And I had Rusty and his wife come from China, these missionaries. Rusty went over there not knowing Mandarin, not knowing anything, knowing that God called him to China. Living off, I think he said when he came here and spoke, that he lived off one egg and one bowl of rice every single day. And ministering to the drug addicts in the alleys and things like that, God with him and doing what he did, and the hardship he went through for many, 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 many years and still goes through as he's there in China. And God just blinded me to the fact of who I was talking to. And I began to complain how hard the ministry was. And then when I'm done... The compassion was overwhelming that he had for me. And he just kind of gave me his life experience and how God provided and everything else. And I'm going, oh yeah, you're Rusty. You're the one that, and boom, 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 and all the hardships and everything else and what God has shown him and let me pray for you kind of a thing. And so when this guy is speaking to me, I'm going, do you not know who you're talking about to right now? You're frustrated? You're frustrated that you don't have enough money to build and the issues that you might be having at your town and things like that. I'll let you finish. But when you're done, let me count the ways. Let me just, again, share with you again what we have been through. And it's glorious and it's wonderful. And it was difficult. And it still is a little bit difficult. Dealing with people, dealing with the town and all the hoops you have to jump through and all the different things and this, that, and oh, by the way, you also got to do this. You go, what? Lord, bless. It's your church. It's going to be your timing. We'll rest in that. And it's going to be a glorious journey. I can make it a miserable journey, or I can make it a glorious journey. And I've chosen to make it a glorious journey. And so we will get up there when we get up there. Right now, it looks like, yes, it looks really good that we'll be there on the 21st of August. And just so you know, this is mostly based on me. We could probably get in there earlier, but I'm going on vacation with my family. And so it's kind of important, I think, for most people's account that I probably be there when we open up there. And so we could probably get in there probably the beginning of August, but I'm not around. So, and there's some other people on staff that are on vacation as well, and we kind of want to all kind of be there, you know. So again, it allows for us to kind of get in there not rushing it anymore. And I see the wisdom of what God is doing. And so for me, from here on out, it's been very fun to be able to see, oh, we have time for this now. We have time for this. Oh, we can actually do this and put this in the building now, whereas before, we'd probably have to wait later on. So to me, I look at it and go, Lord, it does look like your timing. Lord willing, that's when we'll be up there on August 21st. And so I look at this, and it begs the question here, what is God calling you to wait on? What is he calling for you to wait for? Are you praying about it? And are, in the meantime, are you being faithful in meeting before the Lord, praying before him, reading the word, being faithful in the ministry he has you currently in? Are you waiting on the Lord so he can strengthen you and renew you for when he does come and bring it to pass? If we cannot be faithful in the waiting, then what's going to happen is it's going to lead to complaining. And the Israelites are not being faithful in the waiting, and this is being proven by their complaining and going to Aaron. So the Israelites are not trusting God. They're not willing to wait on the Lord. This leads to complaining against Moses, which is really a complaint against God. That's why we read here, for all of us today in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. If God was to judge all of us right now, if we've complained and disputed anything in the last week, I don't think any of us would be here. But look what he says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. If you complain or don't complain, it is a reflection of your relationship with God. Because if you believe in God, then you understand that your circumstances was either brought on by God or allowed by God. Thus, if you complain, you're complaining against God. And if you do not complain, then that shows your trust of God, your willingness to wait on him. And guess what? The crooked and perverse generation, you're shining as lights before them. And that is a great way to shine before God. So, this, going back here to Exodus 32, you can see this verse, their contempt for their leader Moses. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. They loved him 40 days earlier. Oh, we will do all that the Lord has spoken and be obedient to him. Now, come, make us gods that should go before us. Now, two thoughts here. Because we see the plural name gods, make us gods that shall go before us. There are some who think that speaking of the multiplicity of gods that the Egyptians, as well as all Eastern cultures, worship. So in other words, let's make us some Egyptian gods to follow those gods that we have been familiar with when we were living in Egypt. Possible, okay. However, the word gods, the Hebrew word is Elohim. El means God. Elohim is a plural form of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is the plurality of one God. And it's used, Elohim is used of both the true God and many false gods. We went over this in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, okay? So the way that you know this is speaking of make us false gods or make us a true God has to do with the grammar. Elohim plus a singular verb or adjective always speaks of the one true God. Elohim plus plural verbs or adjectives always speaks of false gods, like in Exodus 20, verse 3. Here, we have Elohim with a singular verb, thus they're referring to the one true God, Yahweh, when they say this. It's confirmed in the following verses in verse 2, 3, and 4. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand. And he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Well, Yahweh is the one that brought him out of the land of Egypt. As a matter of fact, that's how God introduced the people, himself to the people in Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So again, the people are asking for their God, Elohim, the one who brought them out of Egypt, to be made into an image, thus violating not the first commandment, but the second commandment, which is Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. In other words, you're not to create an image of me. In Exodus 32, verse 5, look what it says. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation saying, tomorrow is the feast to Yahweh. L-O-R-D, all capitalized, Yahweh. He is saying, make us an image of Yahweh, because this image we're going to use in the way of a feast for Yahweh. The word calf here, the golden calf, is a Hebrew word, aigel. It means young bull or ox. Most likely this is represents, they made it from what they knew of the Apis, the Egyptian god of fertility. Here's a picture of that here. And so you'll usually see the Egyptian god Apis, a young bull. Okay, it has horns. It has a sun disk between it. It's a god of fertility, and so the sun is what brings life upon the earth. It has a cobra. That speaks of authority and royalty in the front. The horns speak of that authority as well. And so this is more of a fertility god, but it is the greatest god of the Egyptians. So in their mind, they're thinking, let us create the greatest god, the image that we know of, and attribute that to Yahweh. Okay? And so here it is, more in, human form, okay? So you can again see this. This is another picture of it. And this is it in cartoon form, if you need that. So the hieroglyphics and some of the pictures that you get from Egypt are amazing. You still see these amazing colors in the pictures. And these are like 4,500 years old. Meanwhile, I have to repaint my house every 7 years. But somehow, you're able to get these amazing colors still today when you unearth these things. Figure out how they did that. Put that in the paint, bear. Anyway, a little off the subject, I understand. So the people are saying, we have made a molded image of Yahweh, and yet this is the greatest image we can come up with from our familiarity with Egypt. And so they make him into an image of a young bull or ox of gold, gold being the chief of all the metals. And so they're trying to bring honor to Yahweh by making this image form, but they're violating the second commandment. And here's the thing. This is why we're not supposed to make an image of God. You can only bring dishonor to God by doing that, because you're not perfect and you cannot give a perfect representation of who God is. So any attempt to do that is going to be less of what he is, obviously. And so it's not going to bring him honor. It's going to bring him dishonor. We've all had someone give some sort of painting of ours, okay? And so if the painting really isn't in our likeness, or we don't think it's in our likeness, it doesn't really honor us. It doesn't really honor us. I won't, but just recently, we had the President of the United States had a picture in our state capitol, and it wasn't very flattering to him. He didn't like it. So in his mind, it didn't bring him honor. Well, it's the same thing with the Lord. Guess what? We're not going to truly give the... So it's not going to bring him honor. It can't bring him honor. And so again, don't try and represent me, okay, through an image, because you're only going to bring me dishonor if you do that. And so one scholar, G.E. Wright, said, in all ancient temples, proof of the deity's presence was his statue, which someone was thought to house the deity's essence. So again, by putting him in a statue, you're now confining him, because God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You can't put him in something. In their mind, when you make a statue of that God, that deity is now in there. And so when you bring it home, that deity comes home with you that way. Again, wrong way to be able to thinking of the Lord, okay? Now again, he left Aaron and Hur in charge, delegating to the future crack leaders of Israel. Right there. Here's a chance for Aaron to prove himself as a capable leader of the people to carry out and do what Moses would do. And how does he respond? No. We need to wait on the Lord. No, Moses is still up there. We're to do nothing. Remember what you guys said. You're going to be obedient and do everything the Lord has said to do. That's what a leader is supposed to remind the people. They're supposed to remind the people what God has said and remind them what they had said in response. And here's what God's leaders do not do. They do not bow to the will of the people. God's leaders are to bow to the will of God. God's leaders are to lead people in righteousness. They are to lead the people in their obedience to God. God's leaders are to lead people closer to God. But what does Aaron do? Aaron says, okay, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. He received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned with an engraving tool, made a molded calf, and they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's what the man of God did who was left in charge over the people, you know. And next time when we get together and Moses comes down and he approaches, you know, Aaron, it's one of those moments. How could you let, you know, and he just rattles stuff off and he lies like crazy. Well, Moses, you know, the people, and I just threw the gold in, and it just kind of, you know, came out this calf. Hold on, verse 4. He received the gold from their hand. He fashioned it with an engraving tool and made the molded calf. Dude, you did this. But he's going to go on. This is what happens when you don't stand upon the word of God. You honestly have nothing to say. And instead, you're going to ramble. And it means nothing. It means nothing. And then you'll begin to lie and rationalize. And that's what a weak leader does. That's what a weak leader does. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Let nothing ever separate us.
Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.